Taz Gerhardt.
Darren Girdler.
Amy Gascon.
Lisa Hummel.
Thank you. On the agenda, there was one item missing that Lisa had caught, I believe, by a motion to amend the agenda to include park reports.
So moved.
A second. Okay. Who's in favor of adding that to the agenda?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. We will add that to its normal place and try to remember to not to forget it next time.
Sorry about that. I probably deleted the assignments part of it, and it got the whole thing.
Got it.
Do you want to do that as part of a committee report?
To?
Well, where does it go normally?
Oh, normally it would go after council liaison reports.
Okay.
But where we can squeeze it in, and there's a lot of things on the agenda tonight. With that, do I have a motion to approve the agenda with that added item?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Amy had minutes. I don't think that they were.
No, I didn't circulate that.
Okay.
And I'm still working on the meeting that Amy missed.
Right, because that was the March meeting.
Yeah.
You were taking care of those, and then we had the ones from April 8th. So next meeting we'll have to approve minutes from March and from the special meeting April 8th.
And this one.
Okay, and for tonight. Yeah, good point. So this is participation. Does your daughter want to say something?
No, she's fine.
Okay. Department report. Anything to say?
QR code is they're installed. Now, keep in mind, there was only one per park, so we are getting an inventory of which ones need more than one QR code if there's more than one sign. So we're going to do that and just add more QR codes. But the main entrance to every park has a QR code with the link to the website.
I think eventually the hope was to add them to other, if there's a trail, for instance, we've got the Hazel Kirby Trail, I think, in one of the parks. It would be nice to have a QR code added for that, for instance. So anything that may have
we'll do a little homework on that this season while we're out and about.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Any other questions? Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, we were up at Fogarty, Montrevers Park yesterday. And the QR project, QR code plaque was sort of sitting up against one of these Wash U art objects. It wasn't quite visible. When you come to the entrance, it wasn't there. It was some other place. Off the way, you had to be coming around from the eastern end of the park, heading west, to see the QR code.
I'm wondering if that may have just been, and this is because one of those things that we're going to have to figure out as we go. How do they walk off periodically? I thought they were going to be attached.
They should be.
To the sign.
Was it attached to anything?
No, just raced up against. I thought maybe it wasn't one of the art objects, but it certainly was not at the entrance where you come in, the main entrance. Come in, it was just raced up against something or other around the ground. I mean, I could see it, but it was not very obvious.
Yeah.
Until just about when I finished with. We finished our walk is when I finally saw it.
I'll have somebody look at that.
Can we get updates on the two big projects that are going on right now with Miller Park and with the splash pad?
Certainly.
Yeah,
sure. Go ahead, Todd.
Let's start out with Miller Park. They worked all the way, they worked last Saturday. They're still working. They have they have the drainage in, which is great because with the storm coming up and everything like that, that was part of MSD requirements that we had to have that in, and that's where we end up with a change order on that for governmental regulations. And then they are laying out the infield currently as we speak, because they're still out working. They're trying to work to 6 or 7 o'clock every night. But if you had to put a percentage on it, at this point in time, you're probably at about maybe 35-40% due to the fact of rain. And that's kind of where we're on that particular project. The project over at Hemet Park.
Say that percentage again, sorry. 35.
It's right around 35-40%. But now if we flip over to the splash pad, they get the surge tank in there, 2,200 gallon tank for circulating. They have the drains in, pressure tested, county came out, everything's fine. They're actually installing like the InBev things, where basically what the fixtures are going to go on top of right now. They're hoping April 26th is the date they're going to pour concrete. That's a Saturday. That's the latest they want to pour it. They're really shooting for the 21st, hopeful. But they're moving a mile a minute on this. And I mean, it's, you know, when they get that done, 2 or 3 days later, they're able to put up the features. And then what we're waiting on is electrical and plumbing to come from the interior of the building to the exterior. And then anyhow, what will happen after that is we have to put fencing up around the plumbing area and the backflow and the chlorinator, and then we have to sod it. So, I mean, if you were to look at percentage-wise, the other day we were at 50%, you're probably about at 60 to 65% right now.
That one sounds like it will get done before Memorial Day.
They're hoping. I mean, they don't like to, because of the rain. Let's just put it this way. Even if it rains, they can still work. Unlike Miller Park. Because they have rock down and everything like that, they're able to go. And once they put the concrete down, I think it's even going to go even quicker. Because I asked them to have everything, all the fixtures, up within 2 to 3 days after that fact. And then we're waiting for the contractors to come in for the plumbing and the electric to run it from the inside to the outside. And that should only take, the plumbing will take, what did they tell me, probably 4 days. The electrical will be 4 to 5 days in that. But the idea was that we were going to split, like have our plumber do the inside, their plumbing do the outside. We decided it would be in the best interest that if one plumber ran the whole thing, and the same thing with the electrical. And it just makes sense all the way around. I meet with fence companies and side companies currently in order to make sure that everything goes off right. We had talked about only doing like whatever grass is there, leaving it, which is, if you were to look at the area, let's say it's 10,000 square foot as a number, 9,000 of it would have to be replaced, only 1,000. So we kind of made the decision today. You might as well just do the whole thing to make it all look good all the way across the board. Because if you get a brand new splash pad, why would you want to have 1,000, you know, square foot of grass over here? That's one type. And then you're going to put, you know, Kentucky bluegrass and, you know, a fescue over here and whatnot. We want to make sure it's all the same. So it's kind of makes sense.
May I ask a question about that? Is this in place? So they're getting rid of the volleyball courts over there by the pool, and that's where they're putting it.
That's exactly where it's at right now. If you were to walk that trail, wherever they formed up everything, that is currently where the volleyball court was.
Right.
They are going to reattach the lights. They cut the wires for the lights, but they're going to reattach the electrical, which would in turn allow you, if you really wanted to have something, that kind of splash pad thing going on.
That's great.
But we don't know if we really want to do that. That's something that London and I would have a deep dive discussion about, something like that.
It would just be a matter of reattaching something.
Yeah, they purposely cut the electric and pulled it away in order to make sure that, you know, they didn't damage it anymore. They did one cut and pulled it. That's what they did.
Well, why wouldn't you have that option?
Just because they cut, closed at, what, 7?
Yeah, but this is what they're saying, is that this is going to leave us that option of adding it.
Yeah, you never know what's going to, I mean, you never know what the future's going to look like, right? You know, and, you know, you always want to leave the door open.
May I ask other questions about the pool? And we talked about this last summer, but I forgot where we are in the process. There were three things that I was asked about to look into. One was the PA/speaker system, one was the snack bar, and one was the vacuum. Those are three things.
I'm pretty sure the PA and that. Do you remember, Todd? If heard from
they, from my understanding, they purchased a new system. Now, if it's up, it should be up and running this year. We would like to think so.
Yeah.
I know that there's a system. There's an area that they basically have specifically for the PA system and everything. So
I think they even replaced some of the loud horns, blow horns, or whatever in the soccer area too. But snack bar where that will be open.
Great.
And then I'm pretty sure either last year or coming this spring, Mike Warmbold ordered a new vacuum for the bottom of the pool.
Right.
If I'm not correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think they had it sitting there for a while, and they finally fixed it, but it was at the end of the pool year. It was sitting there, and then anyhow, so we had one ginormous one, a really big one, and then Mike had to purchase another one because you have so much you have to do. Like you have 2 acres of water that you're getting. If you can think about that, I mean, in general, and we're trying to clean that within a 12-hour period of time. So that large vacuum, the robot vacuum, is huge.
Yeah, that motor's on.
Yeah. I mean, they're because they're in the water a lot of times, hand cleaning it themselves. And I think, when you look at the splash pad, and I got this question several times, why did you put the splash pad next to the pool? And my answer is, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's
and it's for the kids. The idea is, 1 to 12. And the idea would be, let's say you get to 2, 3, 4-year-olds. It's a grassroots program. They come over here, they're at the splash pad. And then all of a sudden, they want to learn how to swim. They come and they swim. They may join swim team, and other activities there. It's going to double the attendance at the pool. Plus, which in turn would actually double your profitability at the concessions. So it's a win-win situation all the way around.
I love the pool. I love it. I'm all for it.
Any other questions about parks and ongoing projects in the parks? Oh, I guess since we met last week, are they going to be up and running for next week for the farmers market, or when are they starting?
The city council doesn't meet till the 28th, and they're doing the I don't know if it's a special use agreement or just the agreement for them to do it. I believe the city manager agreed that on the 26th, so the Saturday before, we would do a one-day special use permit for them. So that would be their first farmers market day, would be the 26th, and whatever times those are.
I would like to speak to James. You and I went out there and spoke with Deb in regards to that. And the clarity I think that we came away with was when they talked about electricity, they kind of started off by saying the city should provide it. But when we walked away from that discussion, it was please contact your local electric company if they want to do anything in regards to panels, like Darren, you and I had talked about that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that way, it would not cost the city any money. And they could tap in where the fountain's at, or let's say if it's Reinhold, they have to figure out where they're going to draw the electricity from.
That was the sense that they gave me, too, was that they would be able to find a way to run electricity in a way that they could foot the bill for. At least that was my understanding.
And that's what kind of like we were hoping that would work that way versus us, having to incur that cost.
Okay. Any other questions?
So they're going to get a special use permit for the 26th, and then it'll...
And then there'll be a master agreement.
The commission, and then in front of council. And then once that happens, then
they're set for either for Saturdays and then either Wednesday or Thursday. I don't know if there was a decision made the other night on if it was going to be Wednesday or Thursday.
They still had not decided, and I'm sure that will be something that city council will need to address when.
Yeah. And we've got a little bit of time because I think
council meeting is April
28th.
We'll say what went there today, drove through that fountain area, and all the city trucks and everything were gone. So the parking area by the fountain area for the farmer's market is wide open now. There's nothing there.
Yeah, and that's a big parking lot. I don't think it's ever. I've only been here a few years, but I've never seen it full.
And just to be upfront on that they have the northwest side of the parking lot. Because I think at one point in time, everybody said that the central side and got moved over to the northwest side. And we had discussed about the parking aspect because there was 21 parking spots and they only had 20 vendors. And if they went further than that, they would wrap around to the far west, if I remember right.
Say that again, they're going to have use of the
21 parking spots on the northwest parking lot, by which would be directly north of the pool.
Not up against Olive where the flood trucks were.
Okay.
They'll be parking there for people, but
exactly.
Yeah, they're not gonna stage from there. And as Brooke and I talked today, when I mentioned fountain to them, I did not envision them like circling the fountain with tents. I just meant it's an amenity that is right. Just there.
We reassure them that was not your intent.
Okay.
They finally seem to understand what it was you were talking about. So
okay,
we're good.
One last thing. I think that they're probably going from talking to Deb out there. I would think that they're going to ask us to barricade that area off from the vendors, like for the vendors on the east side, which is very minimal. And if they want to store one or two barricades, we have extra barricades at the parks, our street division, that we can utilize. And we had talked to them about where to store the storage shed. And that would be a topic of discussion later on we can have with her also, to make sure she doesn't block the drainage.
Yeah.
All right. We've got Mr. McMahon here, council liaison.
Just a couple of things that we got going on. MSD reported they finally finished cleaning out the tunnel.
What?
And they removed 2,460 cubic yards of debris in the 6.5-mile channel, and that they will then be back in 2029 to check on it again to see if they need to do more cleaning. So, and ever since they cleaned it, we've been lucky. We haven't had a major flooding event like we did in 2022. So it seems like it's helping, but you never know what type of rain, what gives it a steady long rain or a sudden deluge. So we'll wait and see, but that's good news. And then on the same front, the city manager met with Senator Schmidt, and he's on board with pushing for the retention basins and those funds.
Awesome.
So we've got representatives in the House and in the Senate that are saying they're supporting it. Where that goes, we'll see. But at least we've got people believing in our cause.
Is that up north, Mr. That they're retention area?
Yeah, those retention basins that are north and west of us. What is it?
Overland, yeah.
Because I happened to be at that Friday when it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
That Friday when it rained so much, we were 6 inches away from going over the top.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's close.
Which really, everybody was scrambling. And I was like, I'm not staying here much longer. Because I was like, I'm not going to be caught in this thing. But we were literally 6 inches from going over the top at the park shop area when it comes around the salt bin. So, these retention areas are imperative that we have something like that.
It can help.
Yeah.
As, if you go to the storm water task force meetings, none of the things that they will, that we can do, will guarantee that there won't be some
right.
rain event. That's the only unknown in the equation. But those will help. But will they solve the problem?
They'll make it better.
They can make it. They can help. And maybe it would have helped that night. It might have been 8 inches. But
right. It's hard to tell.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. But as long as we all do those little things and add them together, then maybe we can prevent something really significant. So.
All right. Any questions for Councilmember McMahon?
May I ask a silly question just about that? If it breaches the wall, is that it? We have another event like we did in 2022 where everything's ruined?
The wall.
I'm sorry.
If it goes over.
Going over
the top.
The bank.
It's hard to tell, because you know, where it's going to be. I mean, we were basically almost crested on November 5th. We were right where it was about ready to come over into the yard again. And that was even worse than the other night. So, I mean, what can we do? And I think we kind of jockeyed around maybe from, and I just thought about this, from the salt bin, and if you would bend it around, all the way to maybe like the entrance gate. What would happen if we put jersey barriers there? Would that, it could deter the, you know, let's say 3 foot of water, I guess a 3.5 foot high, something like that. Could that be something that we can look into to prevent anything from, I know we're deterring the water and pushing it, but we probably would push it directly out in the human park, I would think, on the one side. But it would stop the flow from coming so heavily into the yard. And I found them, I know that one time that for $55 or $65 down in South County in that area, it's something worth looking into. Because we talked about putting jersey barriers up there anyhow, so the trash trucks and whatnot would not back into our new fence. So it's a thought.
I got, just to follow that, I got news today, an idea today, that we're about ready to inherit a bunch of jersey barriers from the outdoor dining on the loop. They have nowhere to store them. We can store them in a nice row.
Yeah.
We did get the plastic ones. These are actually big concrete barricades.
Okay.
Like the ones from FEMA are about this tall and L-shaped.
Yeah.
And we thought about, I know Todd and I talked that night, we thought about deploying them, but we couldn't have got them if it decided to come, we couldn't have got them up in time. That's the problem with our river and FEMA not understanding how quickly it can flash.
Yeah. It would have been like it was like whitewater rafting if you were there. I mean, it was one of those. I turned the corner. I went, oh my god! And it was like, I was like, this is fast, you know. And because I think the barriers that FEMA has, they're for slow rise incidents. I think it would just awesome. Barrel right over. Yeah. Personally, this is my opinion. That's why I think the jersey barriers, like, you know, Darren mentioned, we had talked about this previously, would help out a lot. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We were going to put the parks reports here.
Sure, I'll start. I just went hiking through Ruth Park Woods, and there is a tree across the path. I don't know how to describe it. It's not really one end or the other. But if you come in from the golf course parking lot, and you go through the bird corridor, and you go around the golf course, you go over the bridge, and you go up the stairs, you can go right or left. If you try to go right, there's a tree that needs to be taken care of. You can get around it, but it's pretty big. Other than that, this Ruth Park Woods is looking really good. Raby Park, I didn't notice any problems with. I did go to Kaufman Park for the first time because that's my new park. There's some graffiti on one of the concrete walls. I wonder if we could take care of that because it looks really trashy. And there was something else in Kaufman. Now I'm losing my mind. What was it? I'll come back to it. Miller Park, obviously they're doing all that work on the baseball field. And that, I don't know how long it's going to be like that. It stinks. That dirt just smells horrible. It was nasty. Like, you're trying to go for a walk, and it's like, ugh, what is that?
The sock goes down, it'll help.
Disgusting. Yeah. Like, please get it done as soon as possible. I was concerned, and I know I sent you something about it. The bathrooms still have a sign on them. It says they're closed through March, but it's mid-April, and they were still closed. And neither of the water fountains is working properly. So that was the concern.
I will address that right now, if you don't mind. Miller Park, we had an issue up by the road. There's there's three separate water turn-ons. And anyhow, we thought we were going to have to actually, the fourth one's on the road. And actually, they thought they were going to have to go in, dig into the road, correct the problem. But when they got in there, the three separate turn-ons, they basically figured out what to do. It's time, material cost, quick, easy, in and out. And actually, everything's up and running now. Except for they have ordered the water fountain, a different type of water fountain. It's not electronic. So this will be a little bit different, and it'll work.
It was electronic.
Yeah, it's got an electronic mechanism in the bottom that, that's causing an issue with
it. It's been bad the whole time,
right.
I think. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And there was some, I know I've talked a lot about the erosion around the path, and it's not, I mean, I know you guys worked on it, but I noticed this time because I took my bike up that connector path that goes up from, like, you know, where the Hawthorne apartments are, you know, that little connector path that goes up there. And it's really bad along there now. Like, there's a huge drop off that, again, I feel like that's kind of a liability.
It was an area that you guys fixed last year, but it looks like it's eroding again? Or is it
no,
different
it's
place?
A different place. Because
okay.
I was just talking about the path itself that goes all around the park, but and I don't usually go up that path. But I went up there, I was on my bike, and I was like, oh, this is like, I mean, it was like that far of a drop-off on this side, and it was from erosion. And I don't know if it's being exacerbated by all the construction that's going on, maybe, you know, because it looked like there was, I don't know, maybe more erosion from that. But anyway, that was an issue. Yeah, and then, did I forget a park? Oh, yeah, I said Raven was fine. Miller. Yeah, I think that was... That was it. If I've forgotten anything and it comes to me, I'll jump back in.
Right, and on your master sheet, I did forget to put Mr. Solidar for Greensfelder.
Okay.
At Miller Park. Reports from parks?
At Miller Park. If we happen to have any dirt left over from the splash pad and or Miller Park construction, we can then shift it over and take care of it. I know exactly what you're talking about, and see what we can do. And that won't be too far from now. Okay.
And it probably still needs some sod on top of it or something to keep it from eroding further.
Right. I don't disagree with you.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other parks reports? John?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is Fogarty Park. Should be Fogarty, but I'm from Fogarty. I walked the whole path all around the thing, and there were a number of places where big limbs were down under trees, not the whole place. I reported that to Todd, thinking he got it addressed already. Greensfelter, at the near the picnic area, there are a lot of branches down from trees, and there's also one huge, great big branch down off on the north side. I think Todd already got that looked at, and I know the city forester was there, and I think he was going to work at it when the park dried out. Joseph Adams Park was pretty good shape, except for some an orange traffic cone and some trash at the north end of the thing. I also noticed that there's a sign at the park about ours, but it doesn't have the name of Joseph Adams on it, Adams Park. So that's it whenever you want to get to it. The Ruth Park Golf Course, unfortunately, I've not gotten to yet. I'm also seeing other things. My wife and I tend to go out and walk various parks. And so I, last time I talked about some branches I see down at Miller Park. And today we were at Majerus Park. And on the eastern end of that, with the loop trail, there's a bunch of bigger branches down among a few trees there. So I just already talked a lot about that. So if nobody minds if I call on things that are in your assigned parks.
Not a shame.
Yeah, it's easy for me to get home and an email. Nancy and I go out walking quite a bit in parks and do that.
Okay.
Yep.
I remember what it was. It was good when you said signs. You know, there's a sculpture in Kaufman Park, a red sculpture that's been there a long time. I think it was started as a Washu thing, then it became permanent to the park. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Anyway, there's a sign near it, and it's fallen off. It's like on the ground, and needs to be replaced. And I don't know if that's our sculpture now, or if it's still a Washu thing, because I know that they've, when they've come to talk to us, they've talked about keeping, like, maintaining the artwork. So I don't know. Anyway, I just thought it needed to be fixed. That's it. That was the other thing. And Kaufman.
The dog park is amazing. And I'm sorry that it took me 8 years to get there. It is fantastic. It really is. Everyone should join if they have a dog. That's my suggestion. I have a question, and this is unrelated, but you guys may know the answer. Immediately to the left of Lewis Park, I'm sorry, to east of Lewis Park on Del Mar, I don't know if it's a statue or a pool or a skate park. I don't know what the heck it is.
It's a water slide and a pool.
Is it somebody's house? Is it somebody's private?
Yeah. I don't know who lives there now, but I used to be friends with the folks that lived there once.
How cool is that thing?
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right. Now, Mr. Salt.
Somebody's private property. But there is a trail that goes right along their fence there. If you walk the trail, you can get great view into the pool area.
Great.
Just to see it.
All right. Let's go ahead and move on to committee reports. We have not really done committee reports since Mr. Fox has left us, so we may need to regroup and rethink how we're going to do this going forward. But we now have a budget, so if we go on to the budget items, we can maybe talk about at least the budget for right now, and then how to do a committee with the information so that this is an even better process next year. So, thoughts?
Sorry, to go back just half a step, in Parks reports, I am giving a full report to the City Council on the 28th of the driving range.
Right.
So I'll, after it's been heard by Council, I'll circulate it.
Do you want to give us a preview?
I'm still working toward getting answers from the excavator.
The answer is it's not done yet.
Yeah.
No, there are excuses. I don't know how much it costs to get the grading done, get the driving range finished, but considering how much putting the driving range in 2008 brought in overall income for the golf course, and there had been a deficit of about $600,000 a year before we put that in, and then it came back up to even once the driving range was put in. Driving range brought in some money, but most of it was people wanting to play because they could hit the driving range first. And I've since heard from some golfers they've given up playing Ruth Park because the driving range is not there. So it might be worth it from a money standpoint. Invest the money if we need to do our own grading rather than having somebody do it for free. And then with the increased income from people playing the course would more than pay for the grading. That's just a thought I have. I don't really know, but it might pay. You know, if the grading was not too expensive, it might pay off in terms of more people playing the course.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get into finances as part of my report to Council.
Okay.
All right. So unfinished business, we had none from last time. New business, and do you want to kind of give us an overview of what we're looking at here?
The budget that you have attached to your agenda was printed on the 11th, so Friday, when I was still out of commission, but I was able to get in touch with Janet and have her run this. What you've got is from left to right in the columns. Initialization means what it currently stands at. It doesn't mean what was requested. It means what it's been either brought up to or brought down to is initialization. 2025 estimated amount, that's just $100,000 divided by 9 times 12 to give you the full year. And then the 2025 where we're at and the 2024 adopted budget. What I can say is that we were at staff meeting this morning, which we have every Tuesday. The city manager's concerns right now are the economy and the potential of tariffs. And this budget's going to be really lean. I will get later tonight or tomorrow the most recent version of budget, which I believe the city council will receive the budget book on the 28th. But this budget is the budget that I'll get next will be the most current. So this one is not necessarily, but I can circulate that right away. It'll come to me in Excel documents. I'll PDF them up and circulate them to you guys, so you can kind of you can compare from this one to the new one to see where things changed.
And so the way that this is broken up is you've got looks like several different parks programs, and then each has the same line items within that section of the budget.
Pretty close.
The first is park maintenance. The second is community center,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth. And so it looks like roughly half the budget is for park maintenance, and that sounds like that's fairly typical in terms of how it's divvied up.
That is correct.
Historically correct.
Yeah, basically because it's so labor intensive. You've got mowing and mowing contracts and things like that.
And the Program 51 Aquatics,
mm-hmm.
that talks about the pool operations.
Yes.
Okay. Does this include, there we go, okay, 6010 is professional services.
And Midwest.
That's the budget amount for what we're paying
for Midwest pool.
Midwest pools. Mm-hmm. And that's going to include lifeguards and some pool maintenance and
yes.
some programming?
Yes. Okay. And I'll also be able to get you a breakdown of a better idea of capital instead of just a lumped figure. What's included in capital?
I'm missing something on the capital. Maybe I'm not looking in the right place, but on the bottom of one of these pages that says capital improvement, it's program 90, capital improvement.
Yes.
It has zero.
Well, that was FEMA. That was FEMA.
Oh, okay. So where, that's what I was trying, okay, so then further down in that section, the capital for next year is $400,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's the budgeted amount. Okay. And this year it was $1 million.
Yeah.
This is how many people work at Centennial Commons?
Not enough.
Is Linda getting $325,000 a year?
No.
Is she getting an assistant?
She's got two recreation supervisors. Yeah, I know. And then several part-timers.
And the last two times I've been there, and this happened before sometimes too, there's three people sitting around in the area where you check in, doing nothing but looking at the computers and stuff. I don't know what they're really doing. I'm just raising the point that I've seen three people in quiet time sitting around doing nothing.
Yeah.
Well, and it's nice to be a little overstaffed because at times mm-hmm. when it's really crowded,
yes.
three people aren't nearly enough.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of them I know will be at the pool. I see her all the time.
I was going to say, and they may have other jobs that they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, like they could be doing online computer jobs.
I was only kidding around. I know that, yeah.
If I could ask, the 2025 actual for Midwest pools.
Yes.
And this may cover more than that, but it looks like we're way over budget for 2025, I mean almost $230,000 over budget.
This is for what?
Midwest pool?
Yeah, so if you look under Program 51 Aquatics, we've got a contract that's a yearly contract, and the budgeted amount for 2025 was $350,000.
The actual, so the third column over, is 582,000. Do we have any idea why it's that much more?
Nope, hold on.
I'm going to headcount size for you.
Mm-hmm.
Darren said that those actual numbers are where they are year to date divided by 9 times 12.
Okay.
And so I don't know. I'm hypothesizing that, right, we're not paying Midwest right now. So right. If they did that math, then you would have that over budget. Okay. I have no idea.
Well, and because it also then looks like the 2024 adopted budget was another $50,000 more for that, and that dropped down 350. And again, we have a contractual amount, so we're obligated by contract, but I imagine that there may be overtime needs or other things that aren't covered by the original contract. It just, that was so much.
Right, well, and there was the few years in there where there was no pool.
Right.
And so catching back up to that and trying to realize the actual costs was a little bit of a learning curve.
And you don't need too many lifeguards when you don't have a pool.
No.
In that same section, the electricity number that was in last year's budget was 150,000, and this year it's down to 25,000. Is that the electrical work that was done was put into electricity?
It shouldn't have been. It should have been contractual.
It says contractual services and it says electricity, but
is water and utilities also in there?
Natural gas is in there. Water.
Okay.
I guess my concern is, you really can't control the cost of water and you can't control the cost of electricity.
No.
So if we're going to go with these budget amounts, we're setting ourselves up for failure if actual costs are really higher than that. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we care for failure in that regard.
Yeah, well, I've always had a, you know, if we're going to go over budget, it's necessary, just do it. I haven't been told that by my bosses, but I can't. You can't just stop at 25,000.
That is my concern.
Exactly.
Is that
if we get our first bill and go, oh,
then you blow the budget. And I guess, does anyone yell at you about that?
I don't know yet.
There's still time.
Yeah.
So I would just caution against.
Yeah. So what I would like to do is get you the new worksheets from the Director of Finance, and then on our next meeting is May 20th. Look here. Yeah, the 6th, the 13th, and the 20th are the Tuesdays.
Okay.
So that May 20th we can review in detail where we were, where we are.
Will it be approved by then or not yet?
No, it gets approved the last meeting in June.
Okay.
Which would be this year, the 23rd of June. Because it goes 2, 9, 16, 23, and 30.
Okay. So we can look at the most recent draft.
Yes.
At the next meeting.
Yes.
It still won't have been approved by council yet.
Right. But it'll be what's submitted to council. It may change between tonight and the 28th, but I do know a couple of people are going to be out of town, and they have to get things wrapped up here pretty quickly before tomorrow evening. So
there also doesn't appear to be any golf course revenue in here. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't know about that. That should be in there. But I will make sure it's in the next iteration,
okay.
The revenues are specifically. And like I said, I will also lay out the capital.
And I guess that would be true for some of these other departments, too. Like,
well, yeah, CENTCOM has revenue.
And pool should have some revenue.
Yeah, it looks like the only revenue info is the general funds and then the stormwater, park and stormwater sales tax. Right,
yeah.
That's in here.
Yeah.
Okay. On the golf course, again, we promise not to nitpick these too much, but the 2026 water, so this is going to be the water use of the golf course?
Mm-hmm.
is roughly half of 2025. That doesn't seem like you can reduce the amount of water. Maybe I'm misreading these numbers. But for 2026, the initialization is 55,000, which is on par with the 2024 adopted budget.
Mm-hmm.
But then 2025 is 110. And again, that could just be a vagary of the math. But it seems like we're potentially budgeting by half of what it might actually be.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is.
Let me see what I can get from the director of finance, and if I can massage it a little bit to make it a little bit easier to read, or a little bit better explanation of the columns, we'll do that, and I'll certainly include that in my email.
Does he put these numbers together for you then, or you?
He adds them into the computer. I sit through a round or two of cuts. Or adjustments, ups and downs within the budget. We get the red pen out and we go through and we make the changes. And then Mr. Cole, the director of finance, actually enters them into the computer. He doesn't, after a certain point, you know, we do the initial initialization by department, and then they don't want us in the budgeting software making changes that they may not agree with.
But I guess where I was going with this is, like, are you getting to say that I think electricity is going to cost me $100,000, or are you being told you get $25,000?
We went through it. The numbers we look at are a little bit different. They're strung out a little bit farther, so we see more of a historic record of that. I apologize. I wasn't in when we created this one, so I didn't have a lot of input into how Janet laid out which columns she used. We could have turned it sideways and added actuals from a couple years back. But yeah. We'll
that would be good because then we have more to compare it to.
Yeah. We'll get all that to you here before the end of the week.
Capital improvements at the golf course. If you look at capital outlay category 80/20 and golf improvement, and there's initialization of $275,000, and then for 2025 estimated amount $100,000, and yet actual amount for 2025 is still zero. Are those costs related to the driving range? Are there some kind of capital improvements? So what's the?
That's what I've got to reconcile. If our capital programming is in the line item budget, or if it sits over here in the capital budget.
Got it.
Because I think our initial request for golf course was $800,000. Or for driving range was $800,000, and we'll see where that goes.
Would that, just from so I understand, would that show up in a capital improvements budget for a project that size, or would it show up?
Yeah, anything over anything over 25. That's a project or a equipment should go to capital improvement, unless it's a maintenance contract, like mowing the parks, isn't a capital item. It's a maintenance contract.
That's ongoing as opposed to
yeah.
a one-time improvement.
Yeah.
Do you know what the $275,000 is that's in here for?
Mm-hmm.
Capital outlay for the golf course?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what this $275,000,
$200,000? I do not off the top of my head. I didn't bring my detail.
Okay. Just curious. Again, large number.
Yeah.
With no contact.
So the contract to at the mowing and whatnot, those are actual employees of the town, right? Not the university.
No, they're contractors like Muni or True Green or.
So what is contract for?
Yeah.
We've got some that's done by employees and then some that is done by.
Yes. What we'd like to do this year is, Todd and I have been talking about this, and I've talked with Brooke a little bit, is have a contractor do the parks as often as or as necessary, and then have our crews do right away, which is the, you know, some lateral parks and ditches and medians.
There's 172 right-of-ways. If you take an example, it would be like Kingsland. Those are right-of-ways. Turn towards Acker Park. Those are right-of-ways. Anything to that effect.
But down Midland, that kind of area.
That's county, but we do cut it two times a month. So there, with all everything, you know, and you if you have any abatements that the county has. Then you have to cut those to make everything look good. But if we split it up, we can make it happen between the parks and the street division.
Any other budget questions? Hearing none, we've got commission comments. And the only thing I was going to say, I did attend the WashU installation presentation over at Jam at Jarrett's Park, and it was pretty neat. And the students are always enthusiastic and trying to limit themselves to about 3 minutes of commentary is tough because they really want to describe their art and the process that went into it, but they did a marvelous job. Again, not everybody is happy with the installation. I'm sorry. It's good for the community to have it. Again, it's temporary. I was a huge fan of, you know, large statues of naked horses that maybe, and why not in Hanley?
The clothed horses?
Yes, I would much prefer clothed horses. But these are temporary that are meant to have something different for a period of time. Again, just because you don't get it doesn't mean it's not art.
Right.
And it is something that I think is a net benefit for our community to be able to have this and have for all of the other issues when they have with WashU, this is one of those that I would like to see continue for sure. So it was a very worthwhile project, and I think they did a marvelous job. Any other commission comments?
No, I like the big cat tree over there. And one of the three things they put in the material is two horses or whatever and a cat up in the tree. It's good.
Yeah, it's neat. The whole story behind that now, okay. I can tell you the whole story behind it because he did a great job explaining what his process was.
How long is the stuff going to be in place?
It's going to be up until sometime usually in August or September.
Okay.
They try and take it down unless we've got a more permanent one like the ones we have over in the Park of House by Fogarty, which I think we're then rededicated to the city at some point. So.
Yeah, get redone and made more sturdy and permanent.
Yeah.
Isn't that how Rain Man started? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they did it, reinforce it to get it to
the last. Yeah.
I don't know, one more comment we asked
for.
I'm really being impressed with the depth of which you guys, Aaron and Todd, have got to go working on things with the budget, analyzing all kinds of stuff. I had no idea how deep you had to dig to do this. I'm impressed.
Unfortunately or unfortunately, it keeps me at my desk a lot more than I'd like to for being a parks director. But I get to Centennial Commons and meet with that staff, and then Todd, his office is right over here at Central Garage area, and he comes by City Hall a couple times a week, if not daily. So we stay in touch.
Good, okay.
All right. Mr. Solidar, second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. First time.